Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Should be about 5 a.m. and you're listening to All. If it's not a million yet, it will be very soon. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about a few different things here on the program this morning. You can find out a little bit more about that by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 91st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times that may be getting dangeroser soon. The top story of all news networks this week is: we have dropped back down to 119 followers on Twitter. Oh, we are unloved. Oh, well. Everybody was talking about this all week long. The next thrill-packed episode of the WBAI Local Station Board will be held on Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. There was an LSB meeting this past Wednesday. The kindest way I can put it is that some people stumbled through the meeting, and we can only hope that their actions during the meeting don't have consequences in the future. We were told during the meeting that someone has been awarded a pretty big amount of money in a lawsuit against WBAI. Oh yeah, on top of that, the Internal Revenue Service has grabbed some of Pacifica's money and even grabbed more than it was asking for. Oh. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 520,451,021 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,261,872. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 82,401,197, and the death toll in America had reached 999,470. So 2,115 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death rate is significantly lower than last week's and the weeks before. The BA.2.12.1 subvariant of Omicron now makes up more than a third of new infections. Reuters this past week said that we have hit the 1 million death mark in America from COVID-19. And Reuters includes both confirmed and probable deaths where that kind of data is available. Flags are going to fly at half staff throughout the weekend, the White House announced. And yeah, also, of course, as we've mentioned before, we probably hit 1 million deaths in America weeks ago. It's just that so many people in various parts of the country, some for stated political reasons, won't have people in there as dying of COVID-19. Some because, they fear a stigma. Some because they don't believe there is a COVID-19, even though people are dying of it. So in a lot of cases, people have been listed as dying of something else in America. And when you look at what's called the excess deaths record, you see, yeah, a set of viruses has topped 1 million a while ago. The pandemic is not over, despite what some people seem to want to make believe about it. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. This week, Johns Hopkins will definitely hit 1 million. Pickles and I have at times noted that, yeah, people are going nuts with the pandemic. I mean, very frequently in the middle of the night, we hear like 80 motorcycles and things that they're making a lot of noise. People are having drag races on very ordinary side streets and all sorts of bad stuff going on. People riding those motorized scooters on the sidewalk at very fast rates. That's going to continue, I think. And all of this stuff got started because fewer people were around. Well, it ain't new. There was a guy named Giovanni Boccaccio. Hundreds of years ago, he wrote a book called The Decameron. And The Decameron is famous because it was sort of a bawdy book in its day. And I'm going to read two paragraphs from that. In the year of our Lord, 1348, a terrible plague broke out in Florence, which, from being the finest city in Italy, became the most desolate. It was a strange malady that no drugs could cure, and it was communicated not merely by conversing with those stricken by the pestilence, but even by touching their clothes or anything they had worn. As soon as the purple spots, which were the sign of the disease, appeared on the body, death was certain to ensue within 3 days. So great was the terror and disorder and distress that all laws, human and divine, were disregarded. Everybody in Florence did just as he pleased. The wilder sort broke into the houses of rich persons and gave themselves over to riotous living, exclaiming that, since it was impossible to avoid dying from the plague, they would at least die merrily. Others shut themselves up from the rest of the world and lived on spare diet, and many thousands fled from their houses into the open country, leaving behind them all their goods and wealth and all their relatives and friends. Brother fled from brother, wife from husband, and, what was more cruel, even parents forsook their own children. It was perilous to walk the streets, for they were strewn with the bodies of plague-stricken wretches, and I have seen with my own eyes the very dogs perish that touched their rags. Yeah, Yeah, it's not new. Things get a little bit unsettled and people go nuts.
And this has happened before, as you pointed out. Unfortunately, it will probably happen again, although I hope not in our lifetimes. Not in anyone who's within the sound of our voices. During your lifetimes, no matter what age you are, we hope that this plague does not happen again or one like it. But yes, it's horrible. I feel like we've all been driven partly crazy. We're heartbroken. There's people who've lost people who should be walking around right now. Kids have lost their parents. It's just, it's so awful.
Yeah, and of course he's talking about the bubonic plague, and you might see he's talking there. It's mostly flea carried, because rats get these fleas. The fleas get the plague, and they bite the rats, and the rats get the plague. And when other fleas get on them, they bite the rats, they get it. And if the rats come near you, well, you're a nice warm mammal too. So the fleas will be glad to jump off the rats and jump on a human being and bite the human being. And now the human being has the plague. That's mostly how it goes. And that's why he's talking about their clothing is spreading it, because the fleas stay on the clothing when the clothing is taken off. And you could also get, he talks about talking to people. Mostly that was probably because the fleas were jumping off onto people. But you can get what's called pneumonic plague. That's where it gets into the lungs, and that is infectious. That has, you can be breathing on somebody, and they can catch it from you that way, and it goes right into their lungs. That kills you fast. And I remember there was a big panic in India, decade or more ago, where some people got sick and they thought it was the pneumonic plague, and it was everybody who could got on a plane and left India. And there were concerns about that, because if those people had gotten infected, they were spreading it around the world. Not too different from what happened with COVID-19. But here we are in this, and yeah, we're living through history, just as Boccaccio and other people lived through history.
And the ramifications are going to go on and on and on.
As I've said, it was all mostly preventable. So the Russian invasion of Ukraine is still going on. Mariupol is hanging on by a thread. It's down to a not that many people left in that steel plant that you can see them bombarding with all those missiles and rockets and things. And that's what's left. And some of them are saying they're going to fight to the death. Oh, well. And the Russians continue to target apartment buildings. God damn. And you can see why their state-run media doesn't tell anybody about this. I'm sure a lot of Russians would be very bothered by seeing apartment buildings getting blown up with just people sitting in, you know, god damn. But there that is. The war continues. And now Finland has announced that it has applied to join NATO. Yeah. Finland's been neutral since 1945. They were attacked by the Soviet Union in the Winter War on November 30th, 1939, right after the Soviet Union had finished attacking and occupying Poland, along with their ally at the time, the Third Reich. Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, at that time, capitulated to the Soviet Union's bullying, saying, "You have to let us be in there for your own security, and if you don't, we're going to invade." And Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania said, "They got a big army. What the hell are we going to do here?" And so they gave in, and they were occupied. And then they became a part of the Soviet Union. Gee whiz, just months later, just, "Oh, and now you're a part of our Soviet Union. Wait a minute, we didn't agree to..." Shut up. Take him outside, shoot him. You agreed, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I agreed.
And so, yeah, that's what happened there. And Finland resisted the Soviet Union's bullying. They got the same ultimatum, and they said, bleep you. Which is something that is now on a stamp in Ukraine. And Finland resisted. And so the Soviet Union invaded. They attacked Finland. The Finns fought so well against the Soviet juggernaut. Again, it was thought there, this will be a one-week war. The Soviet Union will just pile right over them. And the Soviet Union will be, you know, in the Arctic Sea by the time, you know, a week rolls by. Didn't happen. The Finns fought them. The Russians were just inept. They just figured, we're going to roll over you. It's not a problem. And they did stupid things and got killed for it. And they really were embarrassed in that one. Not too different from what's happening to them now. And so the Finns fought so well against the Soviets that Hitler, observing this, figured that his Soviet ally would be easily defeated in a war. Thus, in June 1941, Adolf Hitler said, "Hello, ally, eat steel," and went after them in something called Operation Barbarossa. And he attacked, and it started out a big thing, and all of a sudden, the Communist Party USA was no longer saying we shouldn't get involved in World War II, we shouldn't be helping Great Britain to survive against the Third Reich attacking them. And yeah, it was fine that the Soviet Union was supplying raw materials like oil and steel and everything else to the Third Reich. That was okay. Didn't matter to them that other countries, you know, Denmark, Holland, Belgium, they had been taken over. They'd been neutral, but they'd been taken over, attacked and taken over by the Third Reich. And, you know, France, of course, well, France, of course, they're bad guys. They're opposing them. All of a sudden, June 22nd, 1941, the Communist Party USA said, "We have to help the Soviet Union. We have to." They wanted all the stuff that was being done to help Great Britain fight Germany to be done for the Soviet Union. Ah, commies. The war that the Soviet Union started against Finland was called the Winter War on November 30th, 1939. And eventually it got done and kind of settled, and the Finns lost some territory. Because eventually the huge nature of the Soviet army did start to take effect. So even though the Finns fought better, they couldn't stand up against this huge army. And so they sued for peace, and they lost a bunch of territory to the Soviets. And then after that, in 41, the continuation war happened. The Finns, of course, said, "We want to be allies with the Nazis because we can't stand against the Soviets, so we'll go with the Nazis to keep away the commies." And, you know, they couldn't count on anybody else because nobody could help Poland. Certainly nobody's going to be able to help them. So they said, "The only other player around here is the Nazis, so we'll go with them." So at that point, the continuation war happened. The Finns are now seeing the same behavior from Russia in 2022 that they saw from the Soviet Union in 1939 and 1941. Even Sweden is considering joining NATO. Sweden has been a neutral for 200 years. Putin's war is getting him results that are the exact opposite of what he'd wanted. The Kremlin reacted to Finland's announcement that it wants to join NATO by warning that it will be forced to take retaliatory, quote, military technical, unquote, steps. This is a way of frightening people. It's saber-rattling, and it's bullying, and I think the Finns say, If you're going to do it, you're going to do it. If we're in NATO, we'll have allies. If we're not in NATO, we're going to be Ukraine. As if they weren't going to invade Finland anyway. They do it when they please. Military aid from NATO countries is really helping Ukraine resist the Russian invasion. And the Kremlin warned Thursday that the aid could lead to direct conflict between NATO and Russia. Quote, "There is always a risk of such conflict turning into a full-scale nuclear war, a scenario that will be catastrophic for all," unquote, said the deputy head of Russia's Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev. This kind of bullying makes them look weak, really. I mean, they do not have first strike capability. Yeah, they could start a nuclear war, but they would be plastered. I mean, the United States has for years known where to hit them. We got enough missiles to hit them with. They can't stop them. If we can't stop all of theirs, yeah, we'll get hurt too. But it's called mutual assured destruction for a reason. So knowing that, starting to rattle the sabers at, like, America? Give me a goddamn break. You know, they're it does make them look weak. Oh, we're going to go nuclear. Well, gee whiz, that means you're very, very frightened of going conventional, because if your forces behave against NATO forces the way they have against the Ukrainians, they're going to mop you up.
Through all the decades of the Cold War, that kind of rhetoric was not used.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, because one, they didn't want to get into one. And two, they knew it would make them look weak. And that's what this does. I mean, you don't say, well, we'll go to the final thing of a nuclear war. No, you might say, oh, we've got plenty of tanks too, pal, so we have our very robust fighting men and we will beat anybody. You say that kind of thing, and, you know, it's stupid, but it's kind of conventional about conventional war. But to go right to the nuclear threat, hey, Jesus Christ, that means you have no faith in your conventional arms against NATO. Oh, well, they will make their serious blunders, as we've seen them do for this entire misadventure. So on our last program, we were talking about Elon Musk, or Leon Scum, as you might pronounce his name, his announcement about, oh, I'm taking over Twitter, and Twitter agreeing, you know, yeah, you'll pay us off, we'll give it to you, and you'll do stupid stuff. And Musk announced, yeah, when he takes over, he's going to invite Donald Trump back on there. Trump will probably eventually go on there if he's allowed to, because his social, Truth Social, what a stupid name, his Truth Social platform has nobody on it, and it's just not going anywhere, and he doesn't even post to it, so, in any event, so, he has that, but now, on Friday, the day when we're recording this, Elon Musk, a.k.a. Leon Scum, has announced that he's putting his big $44 billion takeover of Twitter on hold. 44, 46, the number keeps moving around. So 40-some-odd, somewhere in the middle 40 billions. Yeah, middle 40 billions. I don't want to, you know, the pocket change we all have. He's putting it on hold. And on Twitter, he tweeted, quote, "Twitter deal temporarily on hold, pending details supporting calculation that spam/fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users," unquote. It would be good if that deal did not go through. And really, is this him getting surprised that they took the offer? Was he just sort of saber-rattling on his own and he doesn't want to go through with this. And now he's saying, oh, I was really doing it only because there were so many spam accounts on there. But now that I realize it's not as many as I thought, I think I might not spend all that money and borrow all that money. You know, it's hard to tell. Was he really going to do this, or was this only ever something like a publicity stunt or an ego trip? In any event, Leon's scum isn't taking over just yet, and that's probably a good thing. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. There's a Supreme Court decision looming that could have really bad consequences. No, not that one. The one I'm talking about this time is the one where the Supreme Court could end up repealing a New York State law requiring gun owners to be licensed in order to carry a concealed firearm. You have to go through a whole lot of stuff and file papers and pay money, and they investigate you, and then you can carry a concealed firearm, which means a pistol. But it's got to be concealed because open carry doesn't really work out well in New York State, at least most of New York State, certainly not in New York City. This lawsuit before the Supreme Court was filed by the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association. Their argument is that the state's licensing law concerning concealed firearms violates the Second Amendment to the Constitution because it limits people's right to bear arms. It limits people's right to bear arms. Well, so there shouldn't be any limits, so that means people can own atomic bombs? Ugh. New York City Mayor Adams said of the gun group's lawsuit, quote, "This is not Jesse James and the Sundance Kid who can draw the fastest, you know. For those that are stating that, if all the bad guys have guns, let's equal it out by having all the good guys have guns, that is just so dumb," unquote. Adams has said that the possibility of the law requiring permits to carry concealed firearms being repealed should make New Yorkers, quote, "very afraid," unquote. Yeah, I mean, it would be very bad news if they made a stupid decision like that. All of those people walking around carrying guns now would say, "We got them." Plus, I don't know, would the Supreme Court go so far as to say, yeah, if you're a convicted felon, you can still carry the gun because it doesn't say anything about convicted felons in the Second Amendment. So there you go. You could be, that guy Frank James, if he ever gets out of prison, or the Nut House, who shot up the N train a few weeks ago. Geez, if he gets out, he could say, well, I got my gun back. Let's see. Maybe I'll take a ride on the IRT this time. How could they possibly say that the licensing is not allowed? Yeah, what do you do when you're walking around and any moron might be carrying a gun? I don't know that I should get a pistol to carry around with me if they repeal that law. I'm an old man with medical issues and failing eyesight. My coordination is also rather spotty these days, and my reflexes are shot. If someone draws a gun on me, and I'm carrying a gun, I'm probably not going to be able to quick draw what I'm carrying and shoot him before he shoots me. I haven't fired a gun in more than half a century. So if the right-wing fools on the Supreme Court wipe out New York's law regarding concealed carry, we're all going to be in trouble. And this will be the same for a bunch of other states and probably every big city in the country. For little things that people now curse at each other over or give each other the finger over, this could end up resulting in shootings because people get exercised and angry, and if they got a gun, they're going to shoot. We've seen this happen among the various criminals who carry guns illegally. And here and there, you even see it among people who have a license to carry a gun. They pull it out and kill somebody, or at least shoot them. Boy, can you imagine rush hour on the subway? Hey, quit poking me. Bleep you. Bang, ba bang, bang, ba bang. Everybody pulls out their gun and starts shooting. You could have 100 people jammed in next to each other. Some of them can hardly move, but they're trying to pull the gun out of their waistband or something, and they're shooting each other. And oh boy, that'll be a bloodbath. And, you know, that could happen every morning on the train. I remember there was a sitcom called All in the Family years ago. Some of you will remember it. The main guy was Archie Bunker, who was this reactionary right-wing guy who was against everything. And his idea was they had him on the show. On the show, he does an op-ed because they had somebody on a TV show saying we should have gun control, and he wanted to be against that. And so they put him on, and his solution was for plane hijackings. As you get on the plane, they give you a gun. And then everybody on the plane has a gun, and so the bad guys, if they decide that, first of all, they won't do it, because they know everybody has a gun. But if they do decide to hijack the plane, everybody else in the plane pulls out the gun they've been given, and they shoot the hijacker. Which, you know, was quite the laugh back in the 70s. Uh-oh. Supreme Court has some people on it who are too young to have watched that program, I think. And those are the three Trumpoid judges. And Jesus H. Christ, this is like similar, except it could be real. Oh, man. And of course, you can be a couple of blocks away from a shooting and catch a bullet. We're seeing that now with, some teenager who's two blocks away and gets hit. A 15-year-old girl is across the street and a distance away, and one idiot is shooting at another gang member idiot, and none of these people have training, so they just whip it out and start shooting, because it's a macho thing too, and they don't care where the bullets end up, and this young girl got killed. And she's not the only one. I remember we've had 3-year-olds killed in a car because somebody, the car is passing by and some jerk is shooting a gun, and a bullet goes through the car and hits the 3-year-old. The kid's dead.
You have toddlers looking out their bedroom window who have been killed.
Yes, and we have all this. These small children getting killed who have nothing to do with any of this. They're not even really near it. And, what if we have just everybody doing this kind of thing? This will be a bad situation. And the right-wing Supreme Court may do a great deal more damage in addition to the damage if they repeal Roe v. Wade if they do this stupid thing. And by the way, Mitch McConnell is now talking about a federal law that would ban abortions nationwide and also a national ban on medications that could induce an abortion. So, yeah. It isn't like they just wanted states' rights. They want their religious crap imposed on the American people, and the American people don't want it. Again, there could be a civil war over this.
Well, perhaps they'll decide not to repeal the gun permit laws.
Yeah,
in light of this.
Because then everybody else will have a gun, and they might not like what happens when that goes on.
God.
Yeah, it is really amazing. And, you know, Archie Bunker was this comical character taking right-wing stupidity to as far as you could go with it. And now Archie Bunkers are real and they're Trump supporters. These are the morons who went and attacked the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. Jesus Christ. Boy, you know, the Trump presidency continues to resonate, and it may really do a lot of super bad things. It may destroy America. Those stupid people who voted for him, the stupid people who didn't bother to vote at all, the people, I know one prominent person who said, we didn't vote for Hillary Rodham Clinton because we wanted to show that without us you can't, you know, get anything, so enjoy Trump. Ha ha. Well, see what happens to the people he claims to represent if the law is repealed and any moron can carry a gun.
There's going to be a lovely celestial phenomena happening this weekend. Unfortunately, given the weather forecast for the tri-state area, I'm not sure any of us will be able to see it, but it's worth a try. A total lunar eclipse appears on the night of the 15th-16th, with the entire eclipse visible from the eastern half of the U.S. and Canada and all of South America. And, of course, when it's a total lunar eclipse, the moon often will turn sort of a tangerine or even red color, which is very cool to see. I know our Paul and I have seen eclipses
we've seen
like that.
Really red ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The moon will enter the penumbra at 9:31 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on May 15th and leave it at 2:52 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on May 16th. So here it'll be a nighttime event.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night this will happen.
And the forecast again is not so great, but apparently there may be breaks in the clouds, so if you can, if you have a balcony, go out on it. If you, you know, go out on the sidewalk and take a peek. It won't be that late at night. Of course, watch out for the people riding their motorcycles on the sidewalk. And if you can't see anything, you can also go online and watch NASA. NASA.gov will be broadcasting the eclipse. So there's something, a fun and positive thing to do.
Yeah, watching it on NASA TV is probably a good thing because it may even be raining at that point. Yeah, it's going to be very cloudy. We're cloudy until Tuesday at this point in time. So, yeah, damn weather getting in the way of watching total lunar eclipses. Oh, well, I'm sure there will be future lunar eclipses. Speaking of eclipses, Pickles and I were watching an eclipse online. It's done by NASA, and the video is of a partial solar eclipse on Mars. And the moon Phobos goes sailing along the disk of the sun. And, of course, even though the sun is smaller when seen from Mars, the two moons of Mars, the two satellites of Mars, Deimos and Phobos, Fear and Panic, Panic and Fear, they are tiny things. And Phobos is described as being looking like a potato. And the entire eclipse took 40 seconds because they're rather close to Mars and they whip around at a very high speed. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see it. They can show you the whole thing in real time. And, of course, Phobos is too small to do a total eclipse of the sun. And Phobos is bigger than Deimos. And so, you know, it's just an interesting thing to see. It isn't like what we get, but it's interesting to see it whip across the sun like that and say, This is being shot from the planet Mars.
Yeah, it's on another planet. And the robots on that planet, our robots, are taking pictures of it and making recordings of it. It's so cool. All this stuff is cool. The little helicopter, whoop, 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 whoop. Flying around on Mars. Oh, the rovers are merrily going along and doing their experiments. Oh.
Yeah, it is interesting to see that, but I found it very interesting to see the eclipse shot from Mars. That's a first. Nobody's ever done that before. Keeping and talking about astronomical things, the seasons are astronomical. And as you're listening to us on May 14th, we are still in mid-spring. However, late spring will begin next Friday, May 20th, at 3:47 in the afternoon. And late spring can be a really great subseason because you get a lot of the benefits of summer, but you don't usually get the massive heat and humidity. This year, I don't know, we may get the fog and rain that we've been getting, but it's usually a very nice time. The sun angle is nice. The sun is already setting after 8 o'clock at night, so that's good. And yeah, so next Friday, May 20th, 3:47 in the afternoon, mark your calendars. It will be late spring, and we can all just revel in that for a while. And if you want to find out more about subseasons, you can go up to my website at glib.com. And when you see that navigation frame, look for the little blurb up there about the seasons and click on that. And you'll see all of the seasons and subseasons for 25 years. Not 25 years in the future, but 25 year, well, I think 3 years in the future and 22 years to the past, something like that. And then there's Congress. Next Tuesday, a subcommittee of the House Intelligence Committee will hold the first open congressional hearings on UFOs in more than half a century. Yes, UFO is unidentified flying object. It's a term that came up in, I believe, the late 40s. And Project Blue Book was founded to see what's going on here. And they never found anything. And now they're calling these things unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs. I don't know, UFO, UAP, okay, whatever. A 9-page, quote, preliminary assessment, unquote, from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence focused on 144 incidents dating back to 2004, and was only able to explain one. We talked about this some while back. There's a video of F-14 fighter jets trying to catch up with something, and they can't catch it. It can outmaneuver them, and they're kicking in afterburners. They're going at like twice the speed of sound or something, and they're not able to catch it. From looking at those videos, I've often thought of there may be something wrong with their instrumentation. This may be a false bogey here. They may be seeing something that isn't there, but because they have to follow their instruments, the instruments say it's there and they got to go after it. That's what I've been thinking, but apparently it's being taken more seriously elsewhere. The report from the Director of National Intelligence said that it was, quote, largely inconclusive, unquote, and that limited and inconsistent data created a challenge in evaluating the phenomena. But it said most of the phenomena reported, quote, do represent physical objects, unquote, which would be completely different from what I had been thinking. If there really are physical objects that are actually moving faster than like Mach 2 or whatever the hell those F-14s were going off at, what the hell is that? That's something it does need to be looked into. On the other hand, maybe they're just looking at the instruments again and concluding it has to be a physical object because we wouldn't build something that makes a flaw like this, that shows you a false bogey like this. Well, that might be thinking that doesn't really work out too well. The assessment concluded that the objects were not secret U.S. technology and that, quote, we currently lack data to indicate any UAP are part of a foreign collection program or indicative of a major technological advancement by a potential adversary, unquote. And that is, of course, the really serious thing, because if there's something like that and it really is physically there, the odds are extremely high that either China or Russia has these things and they're able to, you know, manipulate them. I know the Russians have been bragging about their hypersonic missiles, and there was an article in Scientific American months, at least, maybe a year ago, I don't know, saying that, yeah, you know, don't worry too much about them. You know, if they work and they hit you, it's the same as an ordinary missile, but if you can take measures against them, yeah, you can still stop them, maybe. I mean, even an ordinary ballistic missile is going to be traveling fast enough that it's going to hit you. That's why you have mutual assured destruction and you develop second strike capability. Anyway, Representative Andre Carson, Democrat of Indiana, he's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee's Subcommittee on Counterterrorism, Counterintelligence, and Counterproliferation, and that's the subcommittee holding the hearing. Representative Carson said, quote, since this is an area of high public interest, any undue secrecy can serve as an obstacle to solving the mystery, or it could prevent us from finding solutions to potential vulnerabilities. This hearing is about examining steps that the Pentagon can take to reduce the stigma surrounding reporting by military pilots and by civilian pilots, unquote. Ronald S. Moultrie, Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, and Scott W. Bray, Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence, will be the biggest deal witnesses in this congressional hearing here. And yeah, I think the last time they held anything like this was more than 50 years ago, and they were talking about Project Blue Book, which they then said, we don't need to waste any more money in this, and they shut it down. But, of course, we still have UFO nuts, and I'm sure they're going to be very interested in these hearings.
Are these being broadcast, or
oh, I bet they're going to be online. They'll certainly be online, and they may well be on broadcast TV, or at least on cable. So there will be video of all of this stuff, and I'm sure people are going to show up to talk about the, the Reticulans or something, and Betty and Barney Hill, and the Greys, and all of these guys.
The interdimensional technology that's been falling into our world.
Oh, that kind of thing. That's, what was that? What was that TV show? Fringe. Fringe, that's the name of that show. And yeah, so you're going to have a bunch of UFO nuts there, I'm sure, and yeah, they're mostly harmless. We used to have a show here on BAI. It was a sub-show. Our good friend Uncle Sidney Smith had his radio program called Carrier Wave. There was another guy on it. He did the first half hour of the show. He was the late Paul Williams. And Paul Williams was very interested in this topic, very interested in this topic. And Paul had on everything he could get in his sub-program called UFO Disc. Paul didn't, he wasn't always discerning exactly about what was going on there. And some of it, you know, he had on some of the UFO people, he would interview them, and some of them were rather comical. But he took it all very seriously. And so we heard about guys plotting to murder another guy because he had a flying saucer in his garage.
Oh, no.
And he wouldn't let them see it. And they were actually plotting to do mayhem on this man because they believed he did have an extraterrestrial flying saucer in his garage. And of course, he wasn't letting them see it. So that was one of the real lowlights of
Wait, did Paul manage to convince him not to do this?
Oh, no. I think they were under arrest already.
Oh, my God.
Another one was UFOs, flying saucers, landing in the East River and taking off from the East River. And somehow nobody noticed it except this one guy. Plus the more mainstream UFO wacky guys and all of that. And people talking about extraterrestrial intelligence and all of this, none of which we've ever found. It was a lot of different things. Sometimes it was an amusing program. Sometimes it was a bit informative. Sometimes it was quite comical. Yes, so he used to have a show about UFOs on WBAI. I don't know. I guess Congress is going to have its own.
Oh, he would enjoy this hearing so
much.
Oh,
he'd love it. He'd probably try to get down there and record it.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens on Tuesday. I'm sure a lot of fun will be poked at this. And there is that underlying possibility that these are machines that have been invented by foreign powers. And if we can't catch them with our fastest fighter jets, what are they going to do? Speaking of outer space, the first image of Sagittarius A star was shown this week. Yes, a bunch of scientists all over the world got together and they used a bunch of different telescopes and they put all those telescopes together because if you have a telescope and you have one telescope that's one place and another telescope that's like 1,000 miles away from it, you in some ways, not in really good ways, but in some ways you can get a resolution that is equal to a telescope that is 1,000 miles in diameter. And so these were like several telescopes around the world, a lot more than 1,000 miles in diameter, and they were looking at the center of our galaxy, which is a thing called Sagittarius A star. Sagittarius is the constellation. A is the thing that they find that's interesting. The star means it's a radio source, in outer space. And so there are various things that have the star to them, and they use radio telescopes to see those things. And so this time they managed to image Sagittarius A star, which is the very center of our galaxy, and it is a black hole. And it's an image that looks a lot like the image of the center of a galaxy called M87, which is bigger than the Milky Way and has an extremely active black hole at its center. And that black hole has jets that come out of either end of it. And one of those jets is shooting material at almost the speed of light, and it goes out for light years and light years, hundreds of light years, I forget how many light years, out of M87, and it's very spectacular when you look at it. Luckily, ours isn't doing that because it would be unhealthy to be around something like that. Even though we're 26,000 light years away, it would be very unhealthy to be around something that's spitting out relativistic stuff at that range. So, yeah, so that's a real thing, and that's a good thing to see, and we'll all look at that and enjoy it. Well, that's it. The black hole has eaten the end of Back of the Book. We'll be back in 1 week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
We'll be back, and we're going to get some nicer weather coming up this week. Listen to the hearings if you can. And above all, remember what that remembering history, even if no one else does, Dormouse said.